lungs were on fire and she couldn't breathe, and in the end, all she did was put her hands on her knees and cough. Bolt and Blade were yelping and running into the workshop. A boom shook the ground outside the doors, and Helwaz saw the devil's massive, scaled foot slam down, spattering mud so far that drops landed on the crucible's edge and disappeared in sizzling puffs of smoke. "Hide, girl," Barnard said. He yanked on her arm, swinging her across him. Helwaz went, staggering, helpless against the tinker's strength, not understanding his aim until she felt the cold air of the vault touch her when sailing through the door. "No," she shouted. She couldn't be shut up in here. Not now, not when all this was her fault. She threw herself against the door, trying to wrench it open. "No," she managed. This was her fault, her fight. She had to be in it. But the tinker's strength and the door's weight were far too much for her, and the last thing Helwaz saw was Barnard snatching up his long forging hammer as the door slammed shut. She tensed for the hungry darkness to seize her. There was no sack of candles for her this time, no way out if Barnard fell. But she blinked as the light remained, dancing orange and yellow, sending shadows spooling against the walls. Barnard had lit candles, three at least, and set them to burn on the vault shelves. That wasn't all he'd done. One of the war machines had been taken down off its rack. It stood on its metal feet, back rigid, helmet held high. Helwaz could smell the acrid tang of seethed stone. Barnard had attached a giant shield to one of its metal arms. It was featureless, so long that it covered the machine from face to knees. It looked heavier than the workshop itself, and Helwaz didn't doubt that its weight would crush a man without the tinker engine to drive it. A war hammer lay on its side in the dust, its metal tang pointed at the slot on the war machine's empty fist. Helwaz whirled away from the machine and back to the door, hammering against it. She could hear the dogs barking, Barnard calling to his sons, their short replies, metal scraping and boots pounding, and then the devil's eagle scream, high and piercing. Boom! The vault shook, dust raining from the rafters above her. The tinker engines jumped on their shelves, rattling toward the edges. A small length of pipe rolled off one of them and clouted Helwaz on the head before clattering against the war machine's leg and falling to the floor. She leaned to avoid a canister that followed, looked around for shelter. There was nothing, the shelves too narrow to offer any real protection should the roof come down. Boom! The devil was hammering on the roof. She heard wood splintering above, and a single slate tile shattered at her feet. Helwaz darted across the floor and scrambled up the war machine's leg, wriggling onto the padded ledge in the center. It had hidden her from Tone. It would have to shelter her from the devil now. The inside of the war machine was close and dark, and Helwaz could feel the weight of the thick metal all around her. It made her feel trapped and safe at the same time. Barnard had buckled the straps, making leather loops inside the machine's hands, elbows, chest, and feet. Helwaz wriggled into the chest loop, still kneeling on the padded ledge that would be a seat for a man grown. If she stepped off, her feet would dangle in the air, too far from the foot loops to reach them. Boom! Another crack from above her. Something thick and heavy slammed into the war machine's head, hard enough to rock the machine to the side. It tottered. And for a moment, Helwaz worried it would fall over. But the shield acted as a counterweight, and it righted. She saw the fragment of a thick beam on the floor. Three more slate tiles fell beside it, bursting. Stone shards pattered against the war machine's metal legs. Helwaz put her arm into the metal sleeve of the machine's left arm. She was able to hook her elbow through the leather loop in the elbow and reach the one in the war machine's hand, but that left her right arm only just able to grab the elbow strap in the machine's right arm. Her eyes were still level with the metal gorget. She cursed her age. If she were just a little bigger, she could drive it. If only she knew how. It seemed simple enough, but she couldn't be sure unless she started the engine. The salted cheesecloth bag of seethed stone hung beside her head, the chute leading to the engine canister beside it. Beside the chute was a metal handle that would pull the canister lid shut, trapping the gas inside and powering the machine. Even if she loaded the canister, she would need water to set the stone to seething. Boom! The vault shook. Cracks appeared above the bronze door, spidering upward. There was another splintering crash, more beams and tiles banged off the machine's top. If only she could drive the machine, she could knock the door down, get out of here. And then what? She thought. Would you go out and fight the devil? But Helwaz knew she would. Here, encased in the dark weight of the war machine, she wasn't afraid anymore, only frustrated, furious at her height and the length of her limbs, at her ignorance. Sacred throne, please, she thought, help me to make this right. The rage surged within her, her vision tinting red and her hands curling into fists. She fought it down with an effort. Blind anger would not help her figure a way out of this. Boom! The vault lurched, the bronze door canting suddenly, buckling at the corners. The spider web of cracks in the timber above it exploded with a roar, and Helwaz shut her eyes as wood and stone splinters sprayed across her, filling her mouth with dust. The machine rocked left and right as beams fell on it, each heavier than the last. She ducked her head, her ears ringing as the blows sounded against the metal. Cold air rushed in, chill raindrops pattered against her face. It smashed through the roof, she thought. Then there was a rending roar, as if the whole workshop were crying out, and suddenly the machine was pressing down on her, harder and harder. Her legs popped off the ledge, dropping into the machine's legs, scraping against the metal frame all the way down. Her right leg slashed against a rivet, digging a deep furrow in her skin. The machine lurched to one side, groaning, and suddenly her right foot had reached the bottom of the machine's leg, slamming against the buckled strap hard enough to make Helwa's teeth click together. One moment, her eyes were level with the machine's gorget, and the next, she was looking out the helmet's eye slit. The crown of the helmet rang against her head, and she saw stars, felt something hot and sticky run into her eyes. She screamed, blinked the red out of her eyes, coughed out dust, and swallowed blood. Her legs sang, and her ears rang, and her head felt like it had been split open. She shook her head, though the move hurt so badly that she retched, hanging by the chest strap. She was hurt, but she was alive. The machine was canted sideways. The collapsing roof had crushed it into a bent posture, making it a metal hunchback. The cold rain on her face cleared her head a bit, stinging as the water ran into her wounds. She would be all right. She just had to... There was a sound of wood breaking, and something huge and heavy slammed into the machine's right arm. The metal groaned, protested, and sheared off, the frame crushing down on her hand. The metal closed like a vise, making the sleeve into a tapering tunnel, narrowing to a tight point at the machine's metal elbow. And her flesh hand. Helwaz lost time. One moment, she was in the worst pain of her life, her hand ground to powder, the metal shards of the machine piercing her arm, her face dragging down her side. The next, she was dimly aware of waking up, as if from a long sleep. Vomit was drying on the front of her shift. Her head throbbed so that even the faint light reaching her through the storm-addled sky was an agony. She closed her eyes, but it didn't help. Her arm, her side, and her leg felt as if they had been flayed. Her hand hurt least of all until she tried to wiggle her fingers, producing a white flare of agony that nearly made her faint again. She sawed her head to the right, looking down the tapering metal tunnel that was the machine's arm. The frame had been crushed almost to a point before being ripped off at the elbow, leaving a circle of splayed, jagged ends like the petals of some sharp metal flower just about to open. Her hand was trapped inside, little more than a red bag of shattered bones. The stretched surface of the skin was swollen, purple, weeping blood. She could feel the tiny bones grinding against one another when she'd wiggled what remained of her fingers. The machine's elbow strap was pulled tight across the crushed mess. She expected to be sick again, or to faint, but her mangled hand felt far away now, someone else's limb. She looked back at her left arm, whole, the skin strangely pale and smooth after looking at the ruin of her right hand. Looking at this half of her, she could almost believe she was all right. Am I going to die? She was amazed to find that the thought didn't scare her, only filled her with a deep sadness at the thought that she would never see her parents or Bessina again. Bessina. She was likely outside the ruin of the broken bronze door with the devil. She would need help. The thought made Helwa's twitch, her body jerking with a need to escape the machine, but the agony in her hand, leg, and head answered that in an instant. She was stuck. She would have to rip her right hand free to get out, and that would be the end of her. The stink of seethed stone suddenly rose in her nostrils, making her sneeze. She heard a soft sizzling and turned her head to the salted cloth bag. Some rain must have spattered down inside, activating the seethed stone. The bag began to dance gently on its drawstrings, swelling with the gas building inside. Helwa's heart sank. If only the seethed stone were in the engine instead of in the bag, then she could... Helwa's turned her head so sharply that she felt the muscles in her neck protest. Pain lanced through her skull, but she ignored it, swallowed the sickness that rose in her throat. You will not faint. You will not faint. You will not faint, she thought. The tube leading to the engine canister was within her reach. The collapsing frame had crushed it halfway shut, but if she pushed hard enough, she could probably get some of the stone in there. Praise the Emperor, she thought. Thank you. She slid her good left arm out from the strap, reached across, and thrust her hand into the bag. The stone, normally dry and waxy, felt slimy now. It bubbled against her palm as she seized it, tickling her skin, reminding her of Twitch's nose against her hand. She pushed the thought away. Get it into the engine before it's spent, she thought. She lifted her hand out of the bag, and the tickling became burning. She brought her hand to the tube, and the burning became agony. It felt as if her palm and fingers were steeped in fire, as if the seethed stone were an army of stinging insects savaging the skin beneath. She screamed, her hand shaking, the slick chunk of stone threatening to slide out of her palm. She thought of Bessina, of her father, of the tinkers. She thought of her father running from the mayor's privy, of Clodio slumping to the ground. All of it because of her. You will not drop it, she thought. I don't care if your hand burns off. She raised her hand to the chute, pinning the stone against it. It was too large to fit in the half-crushed opening, and it slid against the metal, threatening to pop out of her grip. She pushed harder, and the agony increased. She felt her skin sloughing off in patches as the stone's slick, burning edges dug in. She loosened her grip, got her palm firmly behind the stone, and pushed. Helwaz could hear a screaming, high and long, impossibly loud. It took her a moment to realize it was herself. The pressure against her palm suddenly ceased, and she heard the stone tumbling down the chute, rattling against the metal sides, until it gave a final clang against the engine's bottom, splashing into the pooling rainwater. Helwaz screamed again, this time in triumph, and hauled on the handle, swinging the canister lid shut. Her burned flesh sang, and she turned her eyes away, not wanting to see, but she couldn't help but catch a glimpse of her hand, the surface pink and bubbling. A roaring rose in her ears, and at first she thought it was the devil, finally through the roof and after her, but then the frame around her began to rattle, and she realized it was the war machine coughing to life, coming awake around her. The machine was half-crushed, bent at the waist and missing half its right arm. But it was still upright, like its driver, crippled, but alive. She turned and put her burned hand back into the machine's left sleeve, slid it behind the loop strap there. It hurt, but not as badly as when she'd clutched the seed stone, and the pain troubled her less, now that there was so much of it, and everywhere, at once. She gave the strap a tug, holding her breath, not daring to believe that she could drive a tinker-made engine of war. The machine's left arm jerked up, sliding the shield across the frame's chest, covering the isolate. Helwaz lowered her arm, and the machine's arm lowered with it, until the shield's top edge was just below her eyes. Her left foot still dangled over empty space, but she wiggled her right one under the foot strap, gave it an experimental tug. The machine's right foot trembled in response. And suddenly, the pain didn't matter. She was Helwaz the girl no longer. She was taller than a man grown, taller than Barnard even. The falling roof had crushed the machine small enough for her limbs to reach, for her to drive it. It was a piece of luck so great, it had to be divine. "Emperor, if this is a sign, I see it," she thought. "I know this is my fault. Help me to make it right." She raised her shoulder, felt the strap pull in response, and the engine driving the rods along the machine's frame. The shield came up, a solid piece of metal that two men couldn't lift on their own. She glanced down at her ruined hand, sprouting from the machine's broken arm the red stigma at the center of a sharp, jagged metal flower. It was a tiny weapon compared to the hammer Barnard had been trying to mount, but it would have to do. She lifted her right foot, then let it drop, turned her body so it tugged the chest strap on one side. The war machine responded, limping, lurching, spinning, until it faced the battered bronze door askew in the splintered frame. Her wounds screamed, her ruined hands crying out, but she welcomed the pain now. She was the Emperor's hand. He had hurt her to give her the means to save her village, to save Basina and her parents. The machine had been crushed to one side, allowing her right foot to reach the strap that controlled the right leg. But her left foot was unable to reach its strap, and so the machine's left leg was limp and dragging. She took a limping, shuddering step, and the war machine limped with her. Within moments, her armpits and chest were rubbed raw by the leather chest strap. Each step bounced her, dragging the shoulder straps down, making the arm swing and the entire machine shudder and lurch. She reached the door and punched out with her good hand. The shield's corner swept up, smashing into the bronze with a clang louder than the bell in the steeple of the Emperor's shrine. The door spun away as if it were made of wood, out into the workshop beyond. Helwaz stepped out and into the light. The workshop was destroyed. Tables, tools, and anvils were scattered on the dirt floor, soaking in the gray water from overturned quenching buckets, mixing with the clear droplets of rain. The devil had smashed through the roof from the workshop entrance all the way through the vault, so that what had once been a forging floor was now an amphitheater open to the air. The crucible bubbled and spat, protesting the cool water falling into it from the spitting sky. The devil stood, snarling and hissing, reaching for the vault with a clawed hand. Barnard stood before it, swinging his giant forge hammer in both his hands, knocking it into the monster's fist, driving it back. Gunnar was at his side, his gloved hand holding a long rod of stuck iron, its end still glowing cherry red from the forging fire, casting sparks at the touch of the rain. He thrust it into the devil's face, forcing it back a step, hissing and snapping. Its mouth opened impossibly wide, the jaw unhinging like a snake's. Triple rows of sharp black teeth shone wetly, a cluster of tiny black tongues waved like a field of malevolent flowers. It gave another raptor shriek, so loud that Helwaz felt her ears ring, but it was scant pain compared to her hands, her leg, her side. And now, when she needed it, her terror gave way to anger, hot and heedless, as it had been on the road to Hammersdown when all of this had begun. Helwaz screamed back so loud and so long that her throat felt raw. She took another step, the machine shaking as she advanced, the one working leg kicking through the rubble. The devil turned, hissed, eye clusters narrowing as it focused on her. The fear kindled in her belly again, making her limbs weak. The creature crouched, fanning its six arms out, ignoring Barnard and his son as it turned to face her. Beneath the crook of its lowest arm, Helwaz could see Basina, her dress filthy and soaked, her eyes lit with terror. She held a wood axe in her hands, far too short to be of much use against the monster, but she advanced on it anyway. Basina, clearly terrified, moving forward anyway. Helwaz smelled rotting wood, the odor of the kind of life that is happy where there is too much water and not enough light. The monster opened its oblong mouth, waving black tongues, vibrating a hiss. "Come on!" Helwaz screamed, rolling her shoulder, banging the shield's edge into the war machine's metal chest, raising a clang that echoed around them. The devil shouted back. Helwaz charged. She got the shield up just in time to block the devil's first punch. The heavy fist was followed by a second, then a third, so powerful that it battered the shield's edge back against the driver's cage, making it shake around her. She rolled her opposite shoulder, trying to bring her right arm to bear, but the jagged metal shards were too short to reach around the shield and strike the devil on the other side. She would have to turn her body sideways, coming out from behind the shield's protection, to make a good strike. Or she could hold it fast until the tinkers brought it down. "Basina!" Her cry turned into a shriek as the devil's face appeared over the top of her shield, mouth snapping at her, spraying the top of her head with stinking spit. It punched again and again, driving the war machine back, but Helwaz launched herself forward, and the machine moved with her, throwing itself behind the shield, pushing against it. Each blow made the frame rattle and her wounds sing. Her pulped hand screamed as the leather strap jerked against it, threatening to make her faint again, but Helwaz hung on. The tinkers had done their work well. The shield was good, stout metal, strongly made. It would hold. The devil seemed to realize this too. Wrapped two hands over the top of the shield, pressed down, trying to make room to push its head inside the driver's cage. It growled, snarled, but blessedly did not shriek. In the tight space inside the machine, Helwaz was sure the cry would have deafened her. Having it so close was bad enough, The stink of rot, of boggy ground, was so powerful that she gagged. Helwaz felt the shield tremble, heard the sound of grinding metal. The devil snarled and pushed harder. Slowly, the shield began to drop. Helwaz screamed, pushing her shoulder up, felt the strap cinch tight around her, straining against the skin. The pain was so great that she felt sick again. The Tinker engine roared, belched a great cloud of smoke. The metal groaned as it strained against the monster's weight. The shield stopped, shivered, and slowly began to rise. The devil growled and pushed harder, and the shield ground to a halt. Helwaz felt the machine straining, could hear the bellow of the engine behind her. She pushed against the strap with everything she had. She could feel the charred skin on her burned hand slide away against the leather strap, grit her teeth to keep from vomiting. Nothing. The shield would not move. Helwaz and the devil pushed against one another for a moment, neither able to gain the advantage. At last, the devil took a step back, putting another hand on the shield's edge, pulling and pushing at the same time. The shield trembled. "You can't do this forever," she thought. "Sooner or later, it's going to get the shield out of the way. You have to do something." She pulled against the chest strap, and the machine bent lower, the shield's corner sinking. There was a sickening moment of terror as the metal moved out of the way of the driver's cage, and the devil seized the chance, mouth yawning wide, sharp teeth racing toward her. Helwaz drove off with her right foot and straightened, hammering the shield up under the devil's chin. Its teeth clicked together, neck snapping back. It reeled, three of its arms pinwheeling as it tried to keep its balance. Helwaz gave a triumphant shout. She couldn't see the tinkers, but it didn't matter. Even with the machine bent and twisted, she didn't need them. Perhaps it was because the Emperor had blessed her. Perhaps it was simply dumb luck. Either way, she was winning. The devil stumbled back, flailed with two of its arms, and grasped the machine's shoulders. Its weight came down on its ankle, and it collapsed, turning sideways as it fell. Helwaz felt its weight dragging at the machine. She had thought that the metal frame was strong enough to carry anything, but the devil was huge, and strain as she might against the straps, its giant body pulled the machine down with it. Helwaz felt the world upend. The horizon became the devil's chest, and the machine toppled forward. The devil rolled as they came down, throwing its strength into its shoulders, flipping the war machine onto its back, and rolling on top of it. The metal groaned and shook, and Helwaz rattled inside, her vision filling with stars as her head snapped back and forth. Her back slammed against the frame hard enough to shake her teeth and knock the breath from her. She lay, gasping, trying to move her arms as the devil shook its head, stalked eyes swiveling back toward her, pushing itself up on its fists and making ready to reach for her. She heard a shout, and Barnard appeared at the devil's side. He swung his hammer, knocking the devil's arm away. The devil turned toward him, hissing. Gunnar joined his father, stabbing at its eye, but the iron bar had cooled now, and the gray metal merely raked across its cheek. The devil shrieked and swept an arm back, catching Gunnar and Barnard across the chest, sending them sprawling across the ruined workshop, weapons flying from their hands. No! Helwaz had precious little time to worry about the tinkers, for the devil had turned back to her, was leaning in. Helwaz pulled on her pulped right hand, desperate to free it from the metal sleeve, to escape from the machine before the devil could hurt her. But she still couldn't catch her breath, and even if she could, the strap around her hand held fast, so that her struggles only made the broken metal arm flail uselessly against the devil's weight. The pain was so great that she was certain that to rip her hand free would kill her. The devil didn't bother with biting this time. It reached a single finger inside the driver's cage, the claw on the end long and sharp as any knife. There was a shout, and Vecina appeared over the devil's shoulder, springing lightly up its back, the axe flashing in her hands. "Get off her!" she shouted, and swung the axe as if she were splitting a log down at the devil's neck. The devil screamed, so high and piercing that Helwa's eyes watered, the pain in her ears rising and rising until at last all sound fled, and there was only a ringing, high and tinny, and sounding like it came from a long way off. The devil twisted, jerking its head up and back, and the axe head turned as it struck, the edge finding no purchase, arcing out and down. It cut, but not deep enough. Black blood showered Helwa's, mixing with her own, the stink of it leaving her retching, still barely able to breathe. The devil shrieked silently. All Helwa's could hear was the high ringing in her ears. Vecina's face was milk pale, eyes wide. She raised the axe for another blow, but much too late. The devil was already rising, jerking its shoulder back, throwing her off. Vecina sprang clear, tumbling beneath a swiping claw that tore a rent in her dress. Vecina tumbled out of view, and the devil turned to follow, opening its mouth and shrieking again. "Move!" she thought. "This is your chance! Get up! Get up! Get up!" Helwa sucked in air, her lungs inflating painfully. Some of the black blood dripped into her mouth, and she sputtered, turning her head and spitting down her shoulder. Her body ached, and her limbs felt weak, but she thought she could move them. She pushed on one side of the chest strap, pulled up with her good shoulder. The machine groaned and clanked, and the arm answered her sluggishly. But at last she felt the shield dig into the ground beneath her and push her up to a sitting position. Barnard and Gunnar lay in the wreckage still. The devil hunched, spread its arms, and shrieked again, took a step toward Vecina. Helwa's could hear it now faintly, the ringing fading and the sounds of the world rushing back. Vecina brandished her axe and screamed back, but where the devil's scream was angry, Vecina's was frightened. Helwa's could see the devil knew this. It growled low in its throat, a sound like a pack of dogs circling. The devil twitched. Vecina turned and ran. Helwa's pulled on the footstrap, desperately trying to get the machine's feet under it, unable to tear her eyes away. The devil stalked slowly after Vecina, enjoying the chase. The machine kicked in the dirt, succeeding only in digging great furrows in the muck. Her wounds sang out with every movement, but it was an old song to her now, sung so many times that she knew the words by heart. She was good at hurting. Helwa's gave up on kicking and sawed her chest against the strap. The machine's shoulders moved in time, and she pushed harder, trying to rock the machine onto its knees. Desperation was supposed to give people strength, but it only made her arms and legs feel weak, heavy. It only made it hard to breathe. "Come on, come on," she whispered. "Not Vecina. Not her love. She couldn't let this happen." At last, the rocking carried the machine over, and she was falling forward so fast that she only just managed to catch herself with the shield's corner. She pushed again, felt the weight of the machine resisting her. She pushed harder, her teeth ground together. Slowly, the machine began to rise. Too slowly, harder. Blood pounded in her ears. She felt a vein burst in her nose, blood trickling down onto her lip. Somewhere, just ahead of her, the devil was running down her best friend, the love of her life. She gave a final shout and punched out with the shield, knocking the machine up and back onto its feet. She staggered back a step, steadied herself. At first, she couldn't believe she was up. But there was Vecina, the devil herding her back. The devil didn't notice her. Basina did. Maybe Basina was exhausted or mad with fear. She doubled back toward the war machine, bringing her closer to the devil, which gave up its stalking and struck. The devil brought a fist down. Basina jumped aside, swung the axe one-handed, the head rebounding off the devil's armored hand. The devil screamed, pulled the hand away. The movement dragged the axe from Basina's grip, sent it spinning into the air. Basina turned again and ran in the opposite direction, eyes wide. The devil glanced at its hand, shrieked, and followed. "Basina!" Heloise yelled, limping after them. The devil's legs were twice as long as Basina was tall. There was no patient stalking now, no low growling, only the quiet speed of revenge. Heloise pursued the devil with everything she had. She panted, lungs burning. Her leg ached with the effort of yanking her foot up and kicking it down again, feeling the metal leg move in response, dragging the limp one behind. The leather strap had chewed through her dress, through the skin of her armpits, wet with her blood, singing in pain with every movement. She felt the machine's bent posture keenly now, its staggering limp, even as the devil's broad back grew in her vision. She had to go faster. She had to get there before it could hurt Basina. Basina ran, and the devil followed, just behind her now, raising a huge hand. "No!" Heloise shouted. She yanked her good foot up, trying to stretch the leg further, faster. The machine took a great lumbering stride, the bent cage unbalancing it, sending it teetering sideways. She reached out with the shield, flailing for the devil's back. She was falling, sideways. The weight of the shield was an anchor now, dragging her earthward. She yanked her foot up and slammed it back down again, hoping the motion would right her, succeeding only in splashing the mud that the rain had made of the workshop floor. She felt the machine's balance drift past the point of no return. The devil's back slid sideways past her. The devil's hand came down, smashing Basina to the ground. Rage swamped her. Banished pain, banished fatigue, her vision narrowing to a tunnel that showed only the devil's back passing by. Heloise screamed, punched out with the shield arm, felt the shield's corner brush the devil's back, hook the monster's shoulder blade, take the machine's weight. The machine swung around, rolling until it faced the devil's side, the ruined right arm pointing toward its heart. Heloise rolled her shoulder, and the machine's huge arm pulled on the shield. The corner held fast, yanking the machine in, driving the jagged metal remains of the broken metal arm deep into the devil's side. She felt the sharp metal go in, deeper than she'd thought possible. The black blood covered her arm, dripped into the cage, the stink familiar now, bothering her less. She felt her right arm now, puncturing through the devil's skin and stabbing deep into it. She could feel the ribs briefly resist, but they were no match for the strength of the Tinker engine, and she felt them crunch under the sharp metal, hungrily delving deeper. The devil didn't scream. It straightened, head swiveling toward her. She could look at its face now, the thin slice of a mouth, the uneven slits for nostrils, the clustered stalks of its white eyes. Heloise stared into them, pushing her hatred into her look. She wanted it to see how she felt. "You killed Clodio," she said. The eye stalks moved closer together until they formed an almost one great eye. The growling stopped. Was it listening to her? Did it recognize her? She hoped so. She hoped it could hear her. She whispered as she pushed the broken metal deeper in. "Kill you." It became a growl. Below them, Basina kicked, moaned. The devil's mouth opened, the tongues reaching out, black flowers blooming on long stems. The inside was gray, wet, stinking of swamps. The stalked eyes glowed, turned in circles. The mouth snapped shut, and Helwaz felt the monster slough sideways. The machine's weight added to the momentum, and they were falling again. There was a rush of wind, then a crash, and Helwaz knew she was down. The impact wasn't as bad this time, or at least Helwaz didn't notice it. She only knew that she had to get up, because it still might be alive, because she had to finish this. She felt the engine on the machine's back shudder. It belched a great gout of seethed stone smoke. The metal shook and groaned, and then the engine gave a final cough and died. The strength went out of the war machine, and it lay slack, wrapped around the devil's body, embraced like lovers. Helwaz waited for the devil to stir, to rise, and tear her apart. She couldn't stop it. She had no more strength in her. She had failed too badly, too often. But the devil didn't move, and the thought of Basina lying wounded would not let her be. She struggled against the straps, but they held her fast. The agony in her right hand again nearly made her faint, and she finally stopped trying, instead swinging her head up and past the crushed frame to see if the devil still breathed. The thing's eyes were gray. There was no sound of the wet breathing now. The black tongues dripped blacker blood from the corner of its open mouth. Its head was turned to the side, hanging on its thick neck. It was dead. She had done it. Basina! She craned her neck, finally let herself see her best friend. She gasped. Basina's body was crushed flat from just above her hips to the tops of her knees. Her blood soaked all around her, the blue ropes of her guts spilled out into the mud. She stank like a midden baking in the sun. She was smiling. You killed it? Yes. Helwaz realized she was crying. I killed it. That's good, Basina whispered. Her face was as white as the devil's eyes. Blood bubbled at the corners of her mouth. I knew you would. I will never let anyone hurt you, Helwaz had said to her. In her heart, it had been an oath. Basina, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Don't be sorry, she said. I lost my axe. Helwaz cried, cuffed tears from her eyes. Basina, I'm sorry for everything, but I love you and I tried to save you and I didn't mean for any of this. It's all right. Basina seemed to be reaching for something, but all she could do was wiggle her fingers in the mud. Even that small effort melted her smile and her eyes went sad. She coughed blood. The pain in Basina's face went away. Her eyes lost focus. She looked confused. I'm sorry. I'm not brave like you, Helwaz. Yes, you are, Basina. You are brave, and you just have to be brave a little longer. You just have to hold on. I'm going to get out of this machine and get to Teria. She can fix you. She looked back down the machine's right arm, trying to see if there was some way she could slip her hand free. She struggled against the straps, nearly fainted from the pain. Basina? Basina, don't go to sleep. Talk to me. Basina? But Basina didn't answer. And when Helwaz looked back to her, she knew she was gone. Chapter 14. Palantine. From Writ, Imp, Chapter 30, verse 5. Do not weep for your dead, for if they have lived by my writ, they are not gone, but stand in splendor beside the throne. They lend their strength to mine, and together watch o'er you and yours, unto your last day, when they will greet you. And in this way the ranks of the righteous ever swell, and assure that hell will one day be laid low forever. Have faith and hold fast, and thou shalt know peace at the end. Helwas rose up through the layers of darkness, her senses returning slowly. Her hands, her side, her leg throbbed, the pain maddening. Beyond it, there was nothing. It was as if all else in her had been scoured away in the fight with the devil, leaving a creature whose sole purpose was to hurt. She was lying on wood, the slightly uneven surface of the boards digging into her shoulders. Her head rested on a bag of grain. Voices were speaking around her deep and hard, men talking in tones she knew were used for important things. She heard angry sobbing. Barnard. Are you certain you can go on with this? Sigir. The sob choked off, swallowed. Barnard, you don't have... Her father's voice. I will do it. It was certainly the tinker's voice, but with an edge to it that chilled Helwas. There should be time for grief, the mayor said. We should be burying our dead and... We are wasting time, Barnard said. What can we do? Her father's voice. Will there be more? Are you speaking of the devil, Samson? Sigir asked. Devils are the least of our worries now. We would be fortunate indeed if a tide from hell were to wash across us now. It would be quicker, cleaner. How can you say? There is no time! Sigir's voice was loud with anger that Helwa's new covered fear. The Order is regrouping even as we speak. If we are lucky, they will send for reinforcements. If not, they will come upon us as we are. We have no wizard to defend us now. We have better than a wizard, Barnard said. We have a Palantine. That is my daughter, Samson snarled. She's just a little girl, and she is hurt, and... She killed a devil, Barnard said. She killed a devil, and she lives! Your war machine killed a devil, Samson shouted. She's just... Your daughter is alive! Barnard roared. His voice was strained, choked with tears. He sounded exhausted. He sounded mad. She stood against a devil and lived. Why would that be, save for the Emperor's will? What little girl could drive a war machine, broken as it was? She is a sainted Palantine. She will protect us. Helwas could hear Gunnar and Guntar whispering to their father, trying to calm him. Barnard, Samson's voice was gentle. I am sorry for Basina. I truly am. Basina, grief welled up in Helwa's chest. Her best friend was dead. She hadn't been able to save her. Barnard made a strangled sound. Why should my daughter die and yours live? It is the Emperor's will. She is a Palantine. All things are the Emperor's will, Samson said. Good and bad alike. I am sorry for your loss. Basina was like a daughter to me. I feel it too. But it doesn't make Helwas anything more than a wounded child. Sainted Palantine or no, Sigir said, she is too weak to stand now, let alone drive a war machine. The Order is coming. They will call on one of the frogging clans to run their cordon. We will be knit, Samson. We will be knit in a fortnight at the most. Sigir's words brought a silence so heavy that it blotted out even the normal sounds of the wind sighing against the roof, of birds nesting in the eaves. "What do we do?" her father asked. "We prepare, as best we can," Sigir answered. "And we make what defenses we may. If we're to have any chance of surviving at all, we'll need to take good ground, strike at the order from ambush." "The ranger," her father said. "I wish he was still with us. He knew the land." "But he can't be here," Helwes thought, "because he became a portal into hell, and I knew he was a wizard and didn't stop him." "The boys have done a fair bit of ranging," Barnard said. "Gunther is a good tracker. I'll set him to find which way the order went. We'll need to look along the road to Lees. Might be there's a spot they won't expect us coming out of." "I know just the spot," Gunther said. "I'm sure I can find it again." "Be quick," Sigir said. "We're already out of time." The mayor paused, then spoke again. "We will raise the whole village. Everyone, man or woman, old enough to walk or young enough to hold a spear. We will not get another chance should we lose. I will not see my people butchered like..." He trailed off, choking on his own words. "Like Hammerstown," Helwes said, her voice a dry croak. "Like Ulna and Jaren, like Ostra, and all the rest we killed." Her throat felt as if she'd swallowed sand. She had promised Basina she would protect her, and she had failed. Basina, whom she loved, Basina, who had saved her. She had to make that right. She opened her eyes, and this time light came in, revealing the thick, dark beams of the gathering hall ceiling. She began to sit up, reaching behind her to push off what turned out to be one of the hall's long benches. Her hand somehow missed the wood, and she slumped against the table's edge. "Easy now," Deuteria said from behind her. Helwes could feel the Erber reaching for her. Samson got there first, lifting her up. "Helwes, you need to rest." Helwes looked down. Deuteria had covered her in soft linen smeared with something that stained the fabric dirty yellow. Even with the medicine, her body burned as if a fire were lit within it, and at the same time, a shivering cold. Her head throbbed. But all thought of fever and pain disappeared as her eyes fell on her right hand. It no longer pained her. In fact, she could still feel her wiggling fingers. But they were phantoms. Linen was wrapped tightly around the stump of her wrist, stained a deep brown. Her hand was gone. "We could not save it," Deuteria said. "I'm sorry." "I will make you another," Barnard said in his mad voice. "A tinker engine worthy of a Palatine." Helwes looked into Barnard's eyes, and the grief there nearly overwhelmed her. Whatever Basina's loss was to her, it was at least the same to him. Gunnar and Gunther were weeping, but she caught their sidelong glances at her, saw the awe in their eyes. But she couldn't let them make her something she was not. "I am no Palatine," she said.
"You are," Barnard croaked. "You have to be."
"He needs me to be," she thought. "Otherwise, why did Basina die?" She stared at the stump of her wrist. She could feel her hand, had to force herself to believe it wasn't there. She shook her head. It was nothing. Basina was dead. But Barnard and his family were alive. If there was any reason why Helwes was still here, that had to be it. "You heard the mayor," Helwes said. "There is no time to rest." There is for you, her father said. You will need your strengths for what's ahead. That's not true, Helwaz said. You know I won't heal enough to do anything before the order comes. She heard Deuteria suck in her breath, saw her father's face darken. No, Sigir sounded exhausted. She's right, Samson. She's no longer a child. Hasn't been for some time now.
Child or no, Samson said, she cannot fight.
You will live, Helwaz, Deuteria added, and you may recover in time. But there is nothing for it now but what healing sleep will bring. We must hope the wounds don't sour, and the best chance you have of preventing this is to be away from anything that might soil you. We will bring you food and drink. You must stay still. On this bench, you must not do anything that will anger the wounds. You must sleep.
No,
Helwaz said. You just said you would arm every man, woman, and child. You said we wouldn't get a second chance.
You are too wounded, Samson said.
So you want me to die on my back? In this hall? Helwaz asked.
The Palatine wants to fight, Barnard said. She must fight. The Emperor will be with us if she does.
Samson swallowed, slowed his breathing, but his voice still shook.
Barnard, I know you are grieving. We all mourn Basina's loss. But Helwaz is lucky to be alive, and I will not see her sicken and die because...
She will not sicken, and she will not die. Barnard's voice was as certain as steel.
She is a Palatine.
Samson's face purpled.
Will you stop putting notions into her head? Weren't you listening to the Erber?
I was, and it doesn't matter, Barnard said. The Emperor has put his hand on her. Nothing can harm her, and nothing can harm those who stand with her. If we are to live, she must fight.
She is not going to fight. I'm her father, and I forbid it.
Enough! Helwa's voice sounded strange, even to her. Deeper, older. Basina was dead. Clodio was dead. Helwaz couldn't lie here on a table and try to get well, no matter what her father said.
I will fight.
You can't! Samson shouted.
She killed a devil, Barnard said. She can do anything. She had your machine, and it is destroyed now.
Helwaz looked at her father, saw the pleading in his eyes. She knew how terrified he must be, desperate to help someone he loved, unable to. She knew exactly how he felt. Which was why she had to do this.
Master Tinker, she said, the second war machine. Can you finish it? Can you make it fit me? She had killed a devil in a bent and crippled machine. Her heart thrilled at the thought of what she could do in one that was whole.
I can, Your Eminence, Barnard said, bowing his head. I can and I will. I will work without eating, without sleeping, until it is done. I will be ready before the order arrives. I swear it in the shadow of the throne.
Please, don't call me that, she said.
That's what they call sojourners. Barnard inclined his head, which frightened her even more than his use of the title. Barnard Tinker, the mountain of a man, who had been all but a second father to her, following her orders as if she were a lord.
Helwaz, Samson pleaded, please, please don't do this.
I'm sorry, father. I must.
Maya, Samson rasped, desperate. I am her father. Forbid this. Call the tipstaffs. Help me tie her down.
Barnard's voice went dark.
I will kill the man who tries.
His son stood at his shoulders, each nearly as big as him. Gunther crossed his arms across his chest.
She is a Palatine, as Father says. She wants to fight. She fights.
Helwa saw the tension crackling between her father and the Tinkers. Sigir looked back and forth.